Ed Asner, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. It's Monday morning. My name is Jeff Humfeld. Today, host Melvin Merritt talks with Nelson L. about his book, The Truth of Life, On This We Do Agree, and what life has taught him about the importance of finding oneself and how we each fit into the community that surrounds us. Then, host Elisa Breitenbach talks with Monique Willis of Mama on a Mission about their work helping loved ones of murder victims and their fourth annual fundraising event, Walk a Mile in My Shoes 2018. Stay tuned for our calendar of events in the middle of the broadcast, and as always, the 420 drug war news at the end of the broadcast. Now, here is Melvin and his guest.
This is Keith Brownhill, and I have a commentary I would like to share with you this morning called The March Against Guns, an Anti-Death Thing, Not a Conspiracy or Ethnic Thing. The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily the views of KKFI Radio or Jaws of Justice Radio. I am amazed and somewhat disappointed by some of the comments I have been hearing from supposedly enlightened critics about Saturday's nationwide March to Save Our Lives. I don't understand how some people keep missing the point. Too many people are dying unnecessarily because there are too many guns out there on the streets. The march that was held this weekend was not a white thing, a black thing, an old people's thing, or even a young people's thing. It was an effort to prevent further unnecessary deaths. So please stop with all the conspiracy theories. It was not important who was really behind the march, what their motivations are, or which ethnic group the primary spokespeople are. The only thing that matters is that all of these people are saying what needs to be said and apparently doing what needs to be done, and people all over the world seem to be listening to them. I understand that black people have been complaining for years about gun violence in our communities because we are the ones who are being victimized by it more than any other ethnic group. That is, if what statistics are telling us are correct. But society has not been listening to us as black people because we keep using the wrong approaches. That is to say, holding small marches or prayer vigils and merely being content to accept prayers and condolences in exchange for the endless carnage. Saturday, a large group of young white kids and a small group of blacks told the whole world they don't want prayers and condolences anymore. They want results from politicians and people in our communities. I applaud them for that, and I want to send a big shout out to our KC mayor, Sly James, for having the courage to go against the popular political trend and stand by those kids in giving a rousing speech to the crowd in support of this cause. To all of those kids, I want to say this. Any government official who favors budget cuts in education and thinks that education is not a worthy investment was proven wrong, very wrong, by all of you Saturday. You are on the right path, so ignore the spin doctors, pundits, bogus statistical quotes, and other so-called experts who are trying to tell everyone you are wrong. In a few more years, you are going to be in charge of running this world. Please stay on the course you have charted. If you do, then our world will be secure. Thank you.
You're on. Good morning. Welcome to a live edition of Jaws of Justice. I'm your host, Melvin Merritt, and this morning we were supposed to talk with Mr. Nelson L. About his book, The Introduction to the Truth of Life, but he hasn't made it into the studio, so my guest this morning is Jeff. Him and I will be talking about guns, and we're going to change the topic a little bit, so bear with us because it threw us a little off because my guest hasn't made it yet. Jeff, welcome.
Well, thank you. This is Jeff Humfeld, producer of Jaws of Justice, and we thought being the whole issue of guns is important and in the news right now, we thought we should have a little bit of a discussion, and we'll even open the phone lines here in the first half of the show. We have another half coming later, And that number is 816-931-5534. That's 931-5534 if you've got a comment or want to say something about the demonstration that happened this weekend. I did make part of that demonstration. Keith mentioned in his commentary the Mayor Sly James comments. And Mayor James has been really out front on this issue, hasn't he?
Yes. I like what Keith mentioned on the commentary, especially with blacks holding little vigils and stuff like that. And that stuff hasn't panned out to be anything effective. And I'm totally agreeing with him on that because I think that people, with all the murders that are taking place around the country, that I think it's gonna be more than just standing around in a circle and praying and that type of thing. But I commend the young people that have marched on Washington, marched across the country, and they are shaking this country up with their demonstrations.
Yeah, they are, and it is good to see the children step out and say, "Hey, Mom, Dad, Uncle, Aunt, you got to do something about this." You know, I think it isn't just a message to politicians. I think it's a message to all of us, you know, all of us adults. And, you know, they shouldn't have to grow up in that kind of an atmosphere. They really shouldn't, especially in school.
That's true. And our children need to feel safe when they go to school. And they shouldn't have to be sitting up in classroom having this spirit of fear and thinking someone is going to do a postal on them, so to speak. And but it's getting out of hand. And not only that, with the control of the gun lobbyists and around the country that's wanting these things to continue to be in our society. And I think we need to put a cap, and that's what they're asking for, that one particular rifle that can go in and kill maybe about 25 or 30 people without changing the magazine.
You know, this is one of the things, and this is something that Mayor James talks about, and I can't remember the exact term that he uses, but he called it a slow motion massacre that's happening, you know, especially in the African American community, mm-hmm. where so many young people are killing each other and mm-hmm. all. And I think that's, you know, there needs to be some kind of look at, you know, the weapons there. One of the problems is that people, we have this concealed carry and open carry and everything else. People take guns with them mm-hmm. wherever they go, and there's some places they go where they can't carry the gun with them.
That's true.
And what happens is they leave it in the car, and any more thieves are looking for cars that are open. They're looking for cars that have, you know, the NRA bumper stickers or whatever else. They're breaking into those cars to look for those guns. And
that is true.
So many guns are stolen off of the streets. That's where a lot of the illegal guns are and where a lot of the crimes are committed with, you know, criminals, when they're going to go do a crime, they don't use their car. They steal a car
and then
go do the crime.
That's
the same thing with a gun. If they can steal a gun and take that rather than the gun that they may actually have registered, they're going to do that.
That's true. And I was thinking about it when you were speaking, and it's the mental illness that people are not really, really addressing, but they recognize the fact that most of the killing and people, especially in schools, that the person is mentally ill. And I think that that's one of the biggest parts that we as a country must address that when it comes to gun control. And I like what the children are saying coming out of schools, saying that, you know, it ought to be a cap on some of these purchasing of these heavy rifles and whatever they ARKs or whatever they call. So I think that that's something that needs to be addressed. And what I'm saying is actually the mental illness, and that definitely has to be controlled. And they're talking about arming the teachers and stuff. And I like what one of the signs say, arm us with books, not guns. And so that was a great sign I saw that stood out, you know, in my mind. And so I think the children are right on point as it relates to these this violence.
Well, you know, when you talk about mental illness, you need to talk about PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about that in the relationship to soldiers and to police and some of these others. The fact is that an awful lot of our children, an awful lot of our adults mm-hmm. have PTSD.
That's true.
You know, you've talked before when we've talked about Penny Mill,
mm-hmm.
you've talked about the children in some of these neighborhoods that at very young age have watched someone be murdered right in front of them have one's, you know, family members called up, you know, or, I mean, that have been murdered, and they're dealing with these losses all the time. This PTSD is not just soldiers. We have a whole country full of people with PTSD.
Yeah.
And, you know, until we start ratcheting back on some of this violence, it's going to continue, and it's just you know, builds on top of itself.
Yeah, and you know, one time my guess was, I think it was one of Captain Dessler, I believe it is, in that they started a program within the police department trying to head off the hiring. I don't know what this one word that he used is to make sure that they didn't hire people with PTSD. And so, because they recognized that they were arming some of these men that was coming from overseas with PTSD and putting a pistol on the side. But the biggest part I like is what Keith just did, and that was to hand me this paper because I was alluding to the rifle, and it's AK-47s in there. AR-15,
yes,
and that's basically what I was talking about.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's been the biggest problem.
Okay, I think we've got a caller coming here. Caller, are you on the line, and what's your name, and
yes.
What part of town are you calling from?
My name is Keith Brownhill, and I'm calling from Midtown.
Okay, and we played your commentary here already, yeah. Keith. But
and plus
give us further thoughts. You were at the rally, I believe, on Saturday, were you not?
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, you were at the rally on Saturday.
Yes, I was.
All right. You want to give us some thoughts on what you heard and saw at the rally?
Well, I was thinking this morning as I was driving, I was listening to Amy Goodman. She was talking to one of the students, and she made a comment about the National Rifle Association being the most powerful group in America. Well, if anybody was present at that rally Saturday, they know now that the National Rifle Association is no longer the most powerful organization in the country. It's those kids that was out there and those people who attended that protest rally.
Good point.
I was very inspired by a lot of the things that I saw and things that I heard. And, you know, what we need to emphasize is that what those kids did on Saturday, it was very important. But what is even more important is what's going to happen when it's time to go out and vote. We don't want people to get lost in the euphoria of seeing all of these people out there doing the march. We have to follow up, and I believe that this generation, these kids that we saw out there, I believe they have the courage and the tenacity to do that.
Yeah, Keith, I'm glad you called in, and you make some good points, and I think that when we're talking about voting, and I think many of these kids coming out in groves the way they are across the country, it's causing the politicians to take a few steps backwards and about their views on these rifles, like what I mentioned, is the AK-47 and the AR-15. And a lot of these things, especially politicians, is thinking about whether or not they're going to have views more strongly on weapons and things like that. And I think they're going to backstep and backpedal on some of these issues.
I think they're shaking in their boots right now.
Absolutely.
And they know they're in trouble.
Yeah.
When you see, look out there, you see all those people. It was 800,000 people that marched all weekend. They have to know that they are in trouble.
Right.
Yeah, I think that, you know, politicians have been working under this whole thing of it takes the money to win elections. Mm-hmm. But every so often, the voters rise up and they step forward in large numbers. And they overwhelm the money. And it looks like that may be a possibility coming up here in the next election and maybe next couple of elections here. I think people are starting to wake up that they have to make the difference.
That's true, Anna. Go ahead, Kim.
I believe that, you know, we've been woke all along, but what's been happening is that, see, they've been cramming this stuff down our throats. I always knew that anybody with common sense, man, they didn't want all these guns out here on the streets. These politicians are just, they've reached a point where they're in control of the United States Supreme Court, they're in control of the legislature, and they control every aspect of the government. And they're just cramming things down people's throat that they don't want anymore, and people are beginning to realize this, and they're rising up. We didn't want Donald Trump for president. They made him president. They just took the election away from the people, and they made who they wanted to be president. They did the same thing when George Bush ran for president, and they took the election away from Al Gore. They're doing the same thing with these guns. They are forcing this stuff down people's throats that they don't want.
Absolutely.
I want to remind folks that the phone number is 816-931-5534. Call in if you want. We have just a few more minutes before we'll be going to the calendar. So if you're going to call in, now is the time to do it.
And you're hearing this on 90.1 FM KKFI.
There we go. You know, one of the things that has bothered me here all along is that folks succumb to the fear-mongering so easily. They... You know, and the misinterpretation of the Constitution. You know, the fact of the matter is that the Second Amendment to the Constitution may give the right, you know, does give the right to own a gun, but the first thing that amendment says is that the government has the responsibility to regulate those guns. That's what the regulated militia was about. And the fact of the matter is that what that was all about, why they put that in there in the first place, was that they feared a standing army, because these people that came from Europe and were putting this government together had seen the standing armies in France and Germany and England and all these other countries used against them. And they did not want a standing army. They wanted what kind of amounts to the National Guard here. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that a lot of these folks are out there saying, I got to have my gun to protect me from the government. Well, let me tell you something. If that standing army comes into your neighborhood, I don't care how many guns you got, you're going to lose.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
And I think, Keith, is that, you know, what's kind of scary is that we arming our citizens, and it's going to be just like back in the cowboy days. But yeah, you know, I think that some people do have enough sense to carry concealed weapons responsibly. But I think that there will be some things that will, you know, kind of tip the plate, so to speak.
And I tell people all the time, and I try to hope that it will carry some weight, that I am a former convicted felon, and I'm a person that has committed crimes with firearms in the past. If a person like me has come to their senses, and even they can realize and see that something has to be done about this gun problem, I can't see why it's hard for anyone else to come to that same conclusion.
Very well said.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, exactly. And let's face it, the legislation that's been pushed over the last 5 years or so in so many states, state by state, has gone over the line. It really has. In Iowa, you can buy and legally own a gun if you're blind.
Yeah.
Now, What kind of sense does that make? I mean, I understand, but that people want to protect themselves, but good gosh, what are you going to do? You know, who are you going to shoot? Just fire that thing out into the dark? I don't know. I mean, that's just crazy to me.
People around the world and other countries, they are really looking at America, and they think that we completely have gone out of our minds, and with some of the things that we're confronted with, that we were never confronted with. It's been years and years, but now, you know, I don't know what it is, and I'm not a fan of Donald Trump, but I know one thing. It's just when he came into office, he tipped the scale, and it caused a lot of people to think real crazy.
We want to thank our caller. We had a caller call here right at the end, and I'm sorry we are out of time, for this segment. Hopefully we'll do something again here soon and give you folks an opportunity to call in and be a part of this. At this point, we're going to have to go to our calendar of events.
Now, the calendar of events, March 26, 2018. The Cross Border Network is hosting a showing of two films about political oppression in Honduras. Today, March 26, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Kauffman Foundation Conference Center, 4801 Rock Hill Road, KCMO. The two films are, first, Bertha Didn't Die, She Multiplied, a film about Bertha Cáceres, the indigenous Honduran environmental activist who successfully pressured the world's largest dam builder to pull out of the Agua Zarca Dam at the Rio Gualcarque. She was assassinated March 3, 2016 for her activism. The second film is Honduras, The Never-Ending Coup. In 2009, a progressive president was overthrown in a coup okayed by the U.S. In elections last November 26th, the opposition formed an alliance to defeat the ultra-right-wing National Party. During the vote count, the computers crashed, and the victory that was assured the alliance was reversed when they came back online. The Truman Library Institute presents The Supreme Court in the Age of Trump, Thursday, April 5th, 6:30 p.m. at Unity Temple on the Plaza, 707 West 47th Street, KCMO. The program features Joan Biskupic, one of the nation's preeminent authorities on the Supreme Court, in conversation with David Dondrell, columnist for The Washington Post. They will discuss the powerful personalities on the court, its internal dynamics, as well as the institutions and individuals attempting to influence its composition and direction. My name is Jamie, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. We want to thank our engineer today, Keith Washburn. Up next is Elisa Breitenbach and her guest, Monique Willis.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Jaws of Justice. And today we have a beautiful mother whose name is Monique Willis, whose son was brutally murdered right outside of a home on April 5th, 2014. And the crime remains unsolved. About one-third of all murders go unsolved, and this is for various reasons. But remember this, if anyone is thinking about committing murder, the odds are on your side that you're going to be caught, because two-thirds of all murders are apprehended, and these crimes are solved. But today we welcome Monique, and we're grateful that she is here, and she does this great, wonderful service for all of Kansas City families, a service that none of us would ever want to have to be needing. But God bless you for coming in here and sharing your story with us, Monique.
Thank you. Good morning, and thanks for having me.
I would like to have you talk about your upcoming walk. Okay. And let all of our listeners know about what it's all about and how they can get involved.
Okay, it's Walk a Mile in My Shoes. It is Saturday, April 7, 2018, at Tower Park in Kansas City on 75th and Holmes. Walk a Mile in My Shoes is a community walk for the families of homicide victims. We have become united by the violent acts in the streets, and we will reunite the community in honors of our loved ones. Just bringing the faces of unsolved homicides to the streets, letting the families have a platform to speak, letting the community know that we want answers, we want justice, we seek information.
I think it's amazing that after this happened to your son, that you found the strength within to actually stand up and be a voice piece for all families in Kansas City. It's an amazing mission that you are accomplishing, and the main thing that you're doing is like not just helping the families survive this heartache, you're actually bringing the police department and families and individuals together to have conversations.
Correct.
And have you had any successful stories that's come out of any of your personal families that you know of?
There's one success story I would say is there a family right now is waiting to go to trial. You know, there was one family face that I was able to remove from the flyer because they found the person who did it.
That's huge.
So that's something that's, you know, but, you know, that's another process in the story. You know, going to court, facing the victim, facing the families, facing all the court proceedings to see what's happening next and see, you know, how much time this person really may get.
What made you decide to not only help your family, but find answers for other people's families?
It started, I think a mother heard me on the radio one day, and she was like, I wish I could do that. I wish I had that courage. I wish I could speak up for my child. And I decided, I mean, if I'm here doing it for my child, why not be doing it for yours as well? I'm already doing it. Why not add another face?
It's beautiful. You also have something called Lost Love. Could you tell us about that program?
Lost Love is one of my programs in the community. It's acknowledging the families in the community that have lost their loved ones, helping them out financially, setting them up with a funeral home or funeral services, and just providing the resources they may need once they lost their loved one.
What do you feel like your greatest goal is with your organization?
My goal is to solve my own son's crime.
Amen.
Is to be able to go to court for my child, to be able to get some justice for me.
And him.
Yes.
And, you know, put someone behind bars that really needs to be thinking about what he did to the whole entire community by taking your son's life.
Because I always say, if you remove one person that did a crime from the streets, that particular person could have done multiple crimes. So who knows how many other people or victims this one person has dealt with.
Exactly. When I was preparing for your story to be told on the radio, and you've done this lots of times, this is my first time with you, and I have to say I was really nervous to do this because I know it has to be so incredibly hard.
Yes.
And when I was preparing for it, I went to the Kansas City Crime Stoppers website, and I was looking at all the different pictures and all the different stories, and then I came across your son.
Yes.
And, you know, I looked at his little face, and it just, when I saw the story and I realized it was your son, it just gave me cold chills. Mm-hmm. I had to go get my jacket. It just literally sent shivers down my spine. And I can't imagine as a mother how that would feel. And I just so respect what you're doing.
I just want you to know
that from the bottom of my heart.
And right now is one of the hardest times because my walk is based off my son's anniversary death. His homicide occurred the first Saturday in April. So my annual fundraiser is the first Saturday in April to memorialize him and bring the community together. And also his birthday is in May. So this is some rough times for me, but I still try to push through it and, you know, think outside the box and try to make it work.
I think it's amazing that you've put together billboards and you've created reward information. You actually added more money to your son's reward. And most of the time, the crimes are being solved by the community. And so the community, when they speak up and they follow through, we know that this process can help.
Mm-hmm.
The police department is not what solves homicides as much as all of us. We all solve homicides.
Correct.
If we don't help the police department, then we cannot expect the police department to solve these crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And these crimes must be solved for the sake of all children and all mothers and all families. If there's anybody out there that would like to call in, I would like to give out the number. The number here is 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. We would love to have you call and speak to this wonderful mother that does prayer vigils and all this incredible work throughout our whole community. It's just amazing.
Thank you. But I would love for the community to speak up about the different unsolved homicides, because without them, we need their help. We need them to stay focused and stay vigilant with every step of the process. It's not just speaking up, going to the police. It's speaking up, talking to the prosecuting attorney's office. It's speaking up and going to trial. It's speaking up and going to court. So there's different steps that some people may not want to be bothered with, but we need you to stay there and stick through it to help the families in the community.
It's been said that homicide numbers year to year continually change, and that 30% of Kansas City's homicides were 24 years old or younger, including victims 16 and younger. The cases where the motives are known and arguments are listed by the police are like the most common, but others, a small portion is because of robberies. Mm-hmm. Until broader social issues are addressed in a meaningful way, this will never change. In Kansas City, the most violent crimes and the most homicides historically occur in a small 34 square mile area from St. John Avenue to 87th Street and from Troost to Topping Avenue. It has been like this for over 30-some-odd years. It has been happening year after year. We don't need any more surveys. We don't need any more studies. We need education. We need people to talk about housing. We need to talk about the alleys that are loaded with trash. We need to talk about no streetlights and poor lit streets. We know where these crimes are going to be happening. Unemployment, education, alcohol and drugs, broken homes, and all these things factor into these ways. Today's shooters are very, very young, and they never stop to think about the collateral damage that they cause to families and communities at large. Beyond the murders, there is senseless and a very tragic loss of death, and it's a devastating impact on our whole entire community. It's truly heartbreaking. We have several children in our metro who are growing up never being able to know their mother or their father, and more grandparents are raising their grandchildren. And some of these cases are even great grandmothers. Mm-hmm. And I know in your son's case, he's left behind two little ones.
That's correct.
That will never really get to know him. That and it's true. Such a tragedy that you can't even put into words. And I don't think the community really looks out for one another as much as we should. Mm-hmm. Take, for instance, I took my grandchildren to a place called Giggles and Jiggles. And the young man that helped create that beautiful place for families here in the metro, his life was taken. His particular life was taken because of a robbery. He actually gave the robbers all his money and everything, but that wasn't enough. They took his life. And now the family who owns this lovely place for where many of our children play, they've lost their son forever until they see him again, until we cross that line. Mm-hmm. Palomino's Restaurant in Independence, the owner there, she has a little shrine made up for her son whose life was taken. And these things are happening all around us, but most people don't really look at it until you see like a prayer vigil or until you see your walk a mile in my shoes.
Until it actually happens to them.
Until it happens to them, they don't really want to get involved or do much.
And then sometimes when it does happen to them, they don't want to be involved. They don't want to go through the process. They just want to they fall into a loop of grief and depression. And they just don't want to be bothered. They just want to move on with their life and try to leave things behind.
And they probably just want to survive all the pain. I mean, the pain must be so great and unbearable. It's just got to be off the charts.
Yes, yes. It's a process.
Basically, I was told that the money rewards, the tip hotline, has, because it was boosted to $5,000, that's brought a lot more tips to the unsolved homicides.
Okay.
And theory has why police aren't solving as many murders. They're saying that people distrust the police and they're less willing to help with the cases. And since 1980, police have complained about a growing no-snitch culture, especially in minority communities. And, you know, I'm not sure how we can get past all that because it's truly needed to get murderers off the street.
And you should not have to be rewarded to do what's right.
You should not have to be rewarded. And let me bring up someone that I really admired what he's done in the community. Alanzo Washington, mm-hmm. He did extraordinary work, put his whole heart and soul in finding the murderer of Precious Doe. Mm-hmm. And he did not collect that money. And he, in fact, is doing all that he can to still uncover what's going on in Kansas City mm-hmm. and fighting this. And I just think we have some extraordinary fighters all around us. We also have someone that's on the Kansas City Star editorial page. I don't know if you know Toriano Porter, but he's actually wrote several different books mm-hmm. On these problems, and he's just an amazing author and an amazing spokesperson. He goes all over just trying to help people understand, you know, what is happening. So we have Alanzo Washington, Toriano Porter. There's a gentleman out in Raytown called Tyrone Gethers. He actually does a radio show on KUAW. He tries very hard to put light mm-hmm. on our children and try to help them understand how important it is to just have good role models in their life and do all the right things they need to do. Just does an extraordinary job, and you're doing an extraordinary job doing all that you can. And
I mean, if we all can do our part and do something, then we can probably help some things happen.
Absolutely. And like you said, you saw one success story, and that's huge. Any success story is gigantic mm-hmm. for to be able to have any kind of closure, which you will never have real true closure until you right. hold your son in your arms again. But to be able to say that you helped with one case mm-hmm. is pretty magnificent.
Yes.
Can you tell us about the book that you guys are selling?
It's called Grief Diaries. It's a compilation of different families. I believe it's 20 families or so, just telling their stories about their loved one and their homicide and how things have happened in their lives and their experiences that they went through. And that's something that you can actually go to my website is Mama on a Mission, Inc., M-O-M-M-A on a MISSIONINC.com. And you can also get the information about my fundraiser as well.
And let's put that out there again. Say that one more time.
MamaOnAMissionInc.com, M-O-M-M-A on a mission, INC.com. You can get my information about the Grief Diaries and Walk a Mile in My Shoes. They'll be on April the 7th, 2018. You can also call me at 816-499-1214.
What would you like to say to someone that if they ever truly get this guy, and I believe that they will, because mm-hmm. you are a mama on a mission,
yes.
and I believe that you have put so much light on your case, and unfortunately, a lot of money on this case,
mm-hmm.
to try to bring somebody to just do the right thing.
Right.
I think somebody will come forward because of all of that.
Yes.
What kind of comment would you like to make to that person, or to any person that is taken a life? As a mother, what do you have to say to those people?
The person that you're hurting, you're actually hurting yourself. You're hurting the person that the families, your family. There's a whole list of things that are happening from one senseless act of crime that you're not even thinking about. There's a whole broad in things, the whole spectrum of the community that's being affected just by one senseless act of anger that's possibly could, you don't have to do. So think about your actions before you actually do it, because there's some actions, there's some repercussions, there's things that you don't even have to be bothered with just by thinking back, stepping away, and moving on.
Out of everything that's happened in your life mm-hmm. over the last few years, name me something really wonderful that has come out of this. Something, anything. give somebody hope. What kind of hope can you give a mom who is sitting and standing in your shoes or kneeling or on the floor because she can't take anymore?
It's a process. It's a process. You will have some ups and downs. Even if you're right now at your lowest low, there are still moments in your life where you will be able to get up off the floor. You will be able to walk around. You will be able to communicate and interact with the community and your family and your loved ones. You will be able to find your new normal, to find your inner peace at some point. There is some points in life to where it will not always be low. So you will have that chance to regain some things.
Is there any book or any website or person that really was the one thing that helped you get through all of this? What has helped you get through this far?
Oh, that's hard. I mean, because each step has been a growing process. Each person that I've met has led me to the next step to get something done. So it's been a stair-step process. I have not done anything completely on my own. I have been introduced to different people that's been able to do different things for me. So I am so thankful and grateful for everyone that's been around me, because everyone has had some type of hands in it, whether they know it or not. They've helped me along the way. So I can just say thank you to everyone that's been involved, that has helped me, held my hand, walked me through every little process that I may have needed. I just appreciate everyone that's been involved.
You named some different counseling places that people can go for help. Mm-hmm. Could you name those now for people?
I know Parents of Murdered Children. They have monthly counseling sessions. There's a group called iCare. They have some counseling sessions. Ad Hoc has group counseling sessions along with Mothers in Charge. And you can also call me. I'm no counselor, but I am a mother who has understanding and a listening ear.
I think you're an amazing mom. I was telling you earlier about a beautiful fountain in Kansas City. And a lot of people don't know about this particular fountain called the Children's Fountain. It's so pretty, and it's right there on North Oak Traffic Way and Northeast 32nd Street. And the artist that designed this, he did just such an amazing job with each little child, these little bronze figures representing children everywhere. And right to the side, there's a beautiful garden that has been created for all children who have been murdered. And I don't know if I shared this on the show yet, but when I saw your son's picture on the website, it just completely gave me chills. I just hope and pray that you do find your son's murderer soon, and that justice will prevail. Although, you know, justice in a case like this is just so hard, because true justice would be able to hold him in your arms again.
Right.
But till then, I'm proud of you. I hope
you
continue your walk and continue everything that you're doing.
Thank you. I mean, if I can't do it for me, I'm going to at least have to try and do it for someone else.
Tell us a little bit about your son. Tell us about how that all went down. Is there any eyewitnesses of any sort? There was a white van,
there was
right?
Plenty of witnesses. It was Saturday, April 5th, 2014. It was about 1 o'clock on a lovely Saturday afternoon. I was told there was, you know, lots of people outside. He was outside either, now the story kind of gets fuzzy, if he was inside the vehicle or outside the vehicle, if there was an argument or not, I'm not sure. But as he was walking away, going back into the house to where he was visiting, then there was a shot, and he had one shot in his back. So the coward actually didn't do him face on. He waited till his back was turned. And then he collapsed in front of the house where he was at, trying to get back into the home.
And then you were like in St. Louis, right?
I was in Arkansas.
You were in Arkansas, and then you came immediately back home, and it was hard for you to get any information, right?
Correct. I mean, that's when my mission started. I'm driving on the freeway. I have my cell phone in one hand. My mother's sitting beside me, so she's actually trying to help me navigate. I wanted to drive. I had to drive. I wanted to keep my mind on the road, to keep my mind focused on something. But
of course.
And the phone calls are coming in. I'm getting different stories and different things happening. So my mission actually started instantly.
Because you couldn't find any answers.
Because I needed to know something. I needed somebody in the city to touch down and let me know what's going on.
And yet there were a lot of witnesses. Do you have any idea how many witnesses?
I don't know. I don't know the number, but I do know there was people that was there.
And it was my understanding there was a call that happened, and then your son left the house. For some reason, I thought I read something about there
Yes, he had a phone call. He was on the phone. And the person that he was actually talking to, they was telling him to come down the street a little further because the house that he was in front of was another house, was not the house he's normally at. So I guess the person that he saw, they were up the street a block away or so. So he was on the phone talking to whoever and told them to come down the street a little bit further. So KCPD still has his cell phone. It's been almost 4 years.
They still have it. You don't even have it.
They still has his cell phone. Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
I'm assuming that's part of the evidence.
I want to give the information out again about your walk and about how they can contact you and let people know about she sells incredible T-shirts for $5 and little drawstring bags for $5. I don't know how you make any money doing this. And they're selling the book. How much is the book?
That's $20.
And the book is full of other mothers and other
families of loved ones, people who lost their loved ones, just telling their journey.
And the books will be at your walk?
I will have some there as well, yes.
So let's tell them about the walk one more time.
Walk a Mile in My Shoes, April 7, 2018 at 10 o'clock at Tower Park on 75th and Holmes. You can go to Mama on a Mission, Inc., M-O-M-M-A on a Mission, INC.com. And you can reach me at 816-499-1214.
We truly want to thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And we both want to thank Jaws of Justice for letting us do these incredible shows nonstop every week, every Monday. It's incredible that we have a radio station that can put together these extraordinary informational shows that can help the public, help our community become a safer and better community. And it is my great hope that someone hearing this will come forward and bring this information that is so necessary to come forward to this mother and for all murder victims. Children shouldn't have to grow up without their daddies, and mommies shouldn't have to grow up without their children. And please come forward. Anybody that has any information on this, I know you're out there. I know that you listen to these shows. I know that you know who you are. Somebody needs to have a heart. Just come forward if you know who did this. It shouldn't take money to do the right thing because the right thing is just the right thing.
And they can call the TIPS hotline at 816-474-8477 with any information regarding any homicide in the city.
And they can be completely anonymous. Yes, so ma'am. Let's give that number out again.
That's 816-474-8477.
So once again, if you don't have a pencil, get a pencil. We're giving you the numbers the one last time, all the important numbers, how to get a hold of her, how to get a hold of TIPS hotline, and the date of this walk.
Walk a Mile in My Shoes, April 7, 2018. You can reach Monique with Mom on a Mission at 816-499-1214. And the TIPS hotline is 816-474-8477.
Thank you so much for being on the show today, and thank you for the courage that you show for so many mothers.
Thank you.
Thank you for having the energy to do it. I know it must be extremely hard.
Yes.
And I would like to thank all the listening audience for listening into our show, and I apologize for all my stuttering around. This show was a really hard show for me to do because I'm a mother, and I'm a grandmother, and I just can't even imagine walking a mile in your shoes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's the 420 Drug War News. The following is part of a speech given by Carlos Elisser at the United Nations.
Warm greetings of human rights solidarity to all. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Amnesty International and the National Drug Policy Consortium for organizing this important event that further enables us to bring out the truth on what is happening in the Philippines. I'm with the Philippine Alliance of Human Rights Advocates, and Para is the lead convener of the In Defense of Human Rights and Dignity movement, the one that first responded to the mass killings when they started, even before President Duterte took office in June 2016. and we're now engaged in our second international solidarity and information tour. We went all around the world last year for 5 months simply because we could not see working accountability mechanisms in the Philippines and our judicial system being already under the control of this of our violent president. And yeah, essentially we're also extending the Philippine human rights movement, which was once strong outside the Philippines because of the impending dictatorship in our country. Most of you are all aware of the drug war in the Philippines operating outside the rule of law, which has made human life very cheap, the worst human rights crisis since the time of Marcos, one that is dehumanizing us all. As we reported constantly at the UN and the U.S. Congress, President Rodrigo Duterte established a permission structure for mass murder and redefined the rules and institutionalized the rules of and institutionalized impunity in the Philippines. He has popularized the idea that the crisis there can be solved by exterminating addicts and criminals, conditioned our police to be quick on the trigger and routinely circumvent due process, and have a general contempt for the rule of law by promising them protection from litigation, imposing on them forced quotas, forced results, offering bounties to even ordinary citizens, and putting up a reward system. Hitler style, he effectively dehumanized and defined drug dependents and drug peddlers as the inconvenient sector worthy of elimination through sustained incitement to hate and violence.
Carlos is right. You can't maintain drug prohibition without hate and violence. I'm Dean at DrugTruth.net.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. You can always listen to us live and find our podcasts on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. If you have a show idea or want to help produce the show, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. This is Jamie reminding you our outro music is Better Man from the Playing for Change CD. Please tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Cowtown Conversations on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Fridays. Up next is Monday Morning Medicine Show with Dr. Mike, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Hogue. Stick around for Jazz and Blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then round out your day south of the border with Fiesta Musical, Compartiendo Familia, and Compartiendo en Noche.